Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Radio, and you can find us on ultimatesportstalk.com, as well as you can get the No Joke Football Project here at zazzle.com/gridironbeauty. So welcome to Gridiron Beauty's Blitz. We have the lovely co-host Erica Lynn Anderson back in full force. So Erica, how you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I'm glad to be here.
So Erica, a lot of things going on while you were gone. We got the final eight, the Elite Eight in the WFA yesterday. It was Boston 55 over the Divas 42. We're going to be talking to Callie Brunson, which was part of the DC Divas squad yesterday. And we are going to have Nikki Johnson, the YouTube sensation and former LFL Las Vegas Sin star. She's going to be on here, and she's now a member of the Las Vegas Showgirls. So we'll have her on, give us some feedback on some things that are happening in the women's game, as well as some things that are happening in the Legends Football League side of things. Congratulations to the Chicago Bears yesterday, 46-0, taking care of Miami Fury. Miami came in with a very good defensive team. Unfortunately, Chicago, always a very offensive threat-minded team, and you got to give credit to the Chicago Bears defense for shutting out Miami's offensive threats. So 46-0, Chicago now moves and on the road will face the rematch against the Boston Militia. These are basically common rivals. They've known each other for a couple years now in the WFA, and this is another battle. This is similar, Erica, to New York Jets, New England Patriots attitude, which is they meet every time around. So this is Boston, Chicago. Chicago, obviously the reigning 2013 champs, looking for back-to-back championships. They're on a roll again, so it's just going to be a matter of when they get done and how they get it done. But Boston, I know, is hungry to overcome that and get a big win. The other matchups were the Kansas City Titans undefeated, 41-0 against Austin Outlaws, shutout mode there as well, and the tough Titans team led by Miss Hayes out there, and obviously Katie Sowers. They're on a roll. They're looking for a national championship this year, coming off last year when they were shortchanged in the playoffs. This year they're looking for a title. And last night we got to thank Pete Richmeyer for doing an amazing job on our tweetcast from Kent as the top game of the week, and we ended up building it up on our Twitter feed, Seattle Majestics versus the San Diego Surge. And Scott McCarron, the Majestics go down fighting very hard, an amazing game for 3.5 quarters, and then San Diego seemed to capitalize on some mistakes, and they win 36-20. We will have reaction from San Diego quarterback Melissa Gallegos that Pete Richmeyer spoke to a little bit here in the hour. But, you know, a lot of excitement going on in the playoffs there. And then we also have the WFA coming up on July 12th. July 12th, WFA action is going to take place. And that's playoff mode as well in a lot of, you know, motion. So it's Houston Energy taking on the Madison Blaze. Madison got the bye. Houston right off the top. Houston also carries some former Dallas Diamonds all-star standouts. So that's a plus as well. And so Houston, tough to beat. now we'll face the Blaze, who have been a good team all year. So it's going to be the Western Conference Championship July 12th of the IWFL World Championship on July 26th. And on the East Coast, we have the tiebreaker game. Pittsburgh Passion was against Keystone, and they won. So they become Eastern Conference, the division champs there in their division. Now they are on the Eastern Conference Championship line July 12th. Passion, which have had an amazing season so far this year, coming off of the WFA into the IWFL, probably the top team in the whole league at this point by comparison. They will face the legendary New York Sharks. Sharks hungry to return to the national spotlight. They have Karen Mulligan there as well as Lisa Horton on Pittsburgh's side. So it's going to be a great matchup. The key matchup of the week for us, July 12th. We're trying to see if we can get somebody to do a tweetcast live from that. And I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh Passion is going to have it on their stream line, or the New York Sharks have it on their network as well. So don't miss it. It's going to be Pittsburgh against New York. That should be a great one to watch and as well as to have on a Twitter feed. So the other matchups of the season, we will have them tallied up on our Twitter feed. The LIBF in Mexico, we'll have the results on that. The congratulations to the Saskatoon Valkyries for their fourth championship in the Western Women's Canadian Football League, beating the Lethbridge Steel yesterday. So congratulations to the girls out there in Saskatoon for an amazing season and obviously 4 years of amazing football as well. We also want to give a shout-out to Fenice of the American football team up in Italy, and they won the CIFAF championship, the second annual Rose Bowl. Fenice ends up beating Neptune Bologna. So congratulations to Valeria up there, Vismara, and the rest of the girls on the Fenice team. Hard-fought season, and they obviously came across with the championship. So congratulations to them. We have Instagram on the Fenice team on our Instagram feed, and we have the rest of the details on our Twitter feed. We will update our Facebook page by Tuesday for the rest of the crowds in terms of the pictures in the rest of the leagues. And last night, the San Antonio Legacy of the TIWFL as well, 6-0, go on the season. And so that amazing season there for them as well. So let's get into the huddle, Erica, and let's bring in Kelly Brunson and Nikki Johnson. Kelly Brunson of Team USA, and Nikki Johnson, former LFL star and now a WFA star as well. So let's bring in both of these ladies into the Nojo Football Huddle. Nojo Football Huddle brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, where you can get all the tees, hoodies, and leggings, women's gridiron style on the site, an amazing site with amazing customer service. So at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So Kelly and Nikki, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing pretty well.
Awesome. So, Kelly, we've talked before. You guys were really ready to rev and go. And once again, a little short-handed there, but you guys had an amazing season at 5-3 getting into the playoffs, and then obviously you had to face Boston. So what did you think of the game yesterday?
Yeah, we came in ready to go. This is a familiar setting for us. This is the fifth year in a row, really, that we've ended at this point in Boston. So we were amped up, you know, looking for a change and really felt like we kind of had everything running full speed. But, you know, that's the great thing about football. You can go into it thinking that you have everything in tip-top shape, and as the game goes on, things change.
Now, Kelly, give the fans a perspective on your season. I mean, kind of an up-and-down season, but overall towards the end there, you guys were really revving up. And everybody, you know, including myself and everybody that follows the women's game, really thought this was going to be an amazing clash. And given the fact that you guys play within the division mentality, it was kind of a, you know, let's get up for this game mentality.
Absolutely. You know, this, if I can think of one word for the season, it's been adversity. We came into the season, brand new offensive coordinator, brand new defensive coordinator, which means brand new schemes. And we had a lot of new parts pulled in from, you know, people who moved into the area, and finding a way to make them work with their talent, with their skills. And then, of course, first game of the season up in Boston, our quarterback, Allison Hamlin, who obviously is such an intricate part of our team, not only as a player but as a leader. And, you know, her presence on the field is a big defining factor of us as a Divas. Well, you know, she went out with a foot injury that kept her out for a majority of the season, and that was a tough hit. But you know, I think what was so special about this team this year was the ability to roll with the adversity and to come together. And you know, we said it after the loss last night that regardless, you know, what we had this season was very special. Not just talent wise, obviously, you know, great numbers were put up by a lot of people this year, but just being able to come together when things get tough like that speaks, you know, very loudly of what a team is capable of doing.
And now you give back last season and the season before, and this is basically a stepping stone because you're literally one game away from a berth to the national championship. So it's a credit, like you said, to the whole team to get to this stage.
Absolutely. You know, it's you know, and I say this in a respectable way because, you know, when I came into the Divas organization, it was, you know, always a playoff mentality. But, you know, the Divas are a playoff team almost every season, and it's a blessing and a curse at the same time because that pressure's still there. That pressure's always there. And we knew that, you know, we still had to be that team. We have to keep that up. There's a lot of people that came before us that wore this uniform and represented this team that worked hard no matter what. And, you know, you take a couple punches throughout the season, people get hurt, things change. You have to do your best. And you know, coming short of the Eastern Conference Championship and obviously then the Super Bowl is tough. You know, we felt that this was the year and that we had something very special going on. But if anything, we have something to learn and build off of moving into next year. It's really a process.
Now, Kelly, tell us a little bit. Last time we talked, a year ago almost, you were in Vantaa. So tell a little bit to all of us here, how is that feeling? Obviously, another world championship for you, part of Team USA. The sport is growing. There's a lot of, you know, support, obviously, from USA Football now. So tell us a little bit about Vantaa and that experience.
It was a phenomenal experience. You know, not only being a part of that team and getting to that point, but, you know, the most phenomenal part of that experience was, you know, we had 4 days in Chicago at training camp to bring, you know, all of us together and get us all on one page and then obviously go and represent our country overseas and play the sport that we loved. And, you know, to be able to see the cohesion of all of these women from across the country, most rivals, you know, I was playing with, you know, my rivals, people from my rival teams, and I'm sure that was the same for other members of the national team. But, you know, we all came together. We were there for one mission, and that was to go get a gold medal, but also to enrich the game internationally. You know, the United States obviously has a huge advantage talent-wise in the sport, and it was important to us to go over there and meet some of these players from the other countries and encourage them, you know, that what they were doing and the growth that they were taking on in the sport. And, you know, it was phenomenal. I wasn't on the 2010 team to be able to see some of these teams, you know, 3 years prior, but, you know, from what a lot of them had said, that the growth in teams like Germany and Sweden and Finland is just phenomenal, and that's great. You know, we stay kind of in our bubble here in the States when it comes to football, and, you know, we get really engaged in what's going on in the WFA, what's going on in the IWFL, but at the end of the day, the bigger picture is the impact that we're putting so that this can become a global thing, so that women around the world can enjoy what we enjoy, where we get so passionate about this. And that's really what it's all about. And so being a part of that opportunity, being an ambassador of the sport over there, just absolutely phenomenal and you know, something that I hope to experience again. And I hope that a lot of women around the country get an opportunity to experience as well.
Now, we have a lot of things going on in the sport in general. We got social media buzz going for support, like our platform. There's a lot of other, you know, GI Queendom, you got Tackle Girls Project. You know, we got a lot of things going on in the sport in terms of pieces. But we got amazing football internationally as well, which is a plus. I mean, you look at just Canada alone, fourth championship for the Saskatoon Valkyries out there. You got Australia just literally in a hotbed mode getting ready for 2017 on the World Championships or creating their leagues out in Australia. This is another season coming up in August. You got the Italian leagues growing. You got the German leagues that have been existing. So, you know, it's kind of like refreshing in a way, but at the same time, it's kind of like shocking that, like you said, outside the borders of the U.S., people are actually driving themselves into like a magnet to the sport and they want to participate
in
women's American football, which is a blessing, and at the same time, it is an amazing goal once it's met, because it's going to make a huge impact where people are going to realize that women can play American football as well as men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We did – USA Football actually sponsored – it was a camp. It was called the Women's World Games down in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. It was in February. I was very fortunate to be a part of that. You know, having played with Team USA, it was great to be able to go. And, you know, there was women from multiple countries represented there. England was represented. I do believe we had one girl from Australia, Germany – Hungary, all of these places were represented, and it was great to meet some of these girls, some of which I actually played against in Finland that I didn't get an opportunity to meet, individually. But it was awesome to be able to talk to them and meet them and talk about how it's growing and then what they learned from a lot of USA Football staff that was there. And that's the kind of stuff that we can do here is continue to encourage the growth. And I think what you said is looking at the championships that are upcoming in 2017, it's going to be a whole different ball game. I mean, the change that's happened in 2010 to 2013 was great, and there was a clear improvement. But I think with now the United States investment in the growth of the sport, internationally, I think that what we're going to see as an improvement in these countries is going to be far beyond what we imagined, and that's awesome. I mean, to be able to show it on the international stage as a competitive across-the-board sport, coming back from Finland and telling people what the scores were, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, I mean, you guys are the clear advantage. I mean, we'd like to see those scores, a little bit closer and getting some push and moving forward, and I think 2017 is going to be a phenomenal display of the sport internationally. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, and the reach is getting there. ESPN3 doing the WFA National Championships is a bonus, and hopefully once we get to that level in 2017, as we keep pushing, maybe it will be a full fee on ESPN2 or something like that. So that's our goal right
Absolutely.
Now is to get noticed, at least on ESPN2, not on ESPN3, but on ESPN2 at least, just like they do everything else with college softball and everything else. So Callie, let's dive into Nikki Johnson here for a second. Nikki Johnson, former LFL All-Fantasy player with the Las Vegas Sin, as well as WFA All-Star with the Las Vegas Showgirls. So, Nikki, we wanted to bring you in. We've had a long time coming. I know the intangibles behind Why Not. But welcome to the platform. Our fans on Twitter, we're just excited to have you here and to find out what Nikki Johnson's doing, obviously, beside the WFA. They want to find out what you're doing now, not in the LFL, but in the women's game. And you had an amazing year as well with the Showgirls. You put them up into a competitive playoff state against the War, I believe the San Diego Surge, if I'm correct.
Yes, we did. So it was a good season. I played for the Showgirls before. I played with them, I think it was 2009-2010 season, and then I played a year with the Silver State Legacy for one season. After that, I went into the LFL, tried my skills out there, ended up doing pretty well. Played three seasons, two in U.S., one in Canada, and I also traveled to Mexico and Australia to play some games. Unfortunately, that came to an end. And then I decided to come back and play for the Showgirls just because I want to keep playing football. So, but I'm happy that the WFA and the Showgirls were able to let me come back and, do what I love to do. So,
Nikki, let's talk about the season. The season you had, pretty amazing season for the Showgirls. I mean, from last season to this season, you guys kind of a transition, but at the same time, a very impactful transition. So tell us a little bit about your start, and then tell us a little bit about when you got into the playoff mode against, obviously, some of the good teams. San Diego's a good team. You got the War Angels out there as well on the West Coast. So let the fans know exactly what Nikki Johnson was going through this season with the Showgirls from beginning to playoff mode.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good season. We were all happy with how everything went. We played the Surge first, and then we played the War Angels. Unfortunately, the first game we had with the Surge, going from arena ball back into the 100-yard field, I mean, it's a lot different. So it was a transition game for me personally, but, you know, we did all right with them. And then we went to the War Angels. We had them at home. They edged us on that game. But the rest of the season, we kept improving, and we got a lot better. We ended up blowing a lot of teams out, which unfortunately, you know, doesn't help out a team as much as you would want. But we were able to at least come back and play the Surge in playoffs. You know, throughout the entire season, all we kept thinking about was, you know, we're going to meet them again, and we need to have a better game than we did the first time. And, you know, aside from what the score said, it really, if you talk to anybody that was actually at that game, it was a very exciting game. We ended up kind of just beating ourselves. Within the first half, we left at least four opportunities on the field to score. We were stopped in the red zone. The Surge is a good team, so we can't make those kind of mistakes, and we did, unfortunately. So it kind of took us back, and we couldn't catch up with them in the second half. So you know, it's just something to keep working for in off season, and next season we need to make sure that we're playing for four quarters and we don't make those types of mistakes.
Kerry Walters, I mean, legendary Kerry Walters as one of your weapons, so that had to have been nice to come back. I know you and Kerry were playing also in the indoor game, so that was a nice addition to your weaponry.
Yeah, we had a great, I mean, our offense was great. I mean, I loved our offense. Sarah Neff was, she played in the LFL with me, and she came over to the WFA and decided to try out some wide receivers. She did extremely well for herself, so I was glad to have her. And, you know, we had Shamika Finks a couple different games where she did well, and unfortunately she couldn't commit for the entire season, but we were happy to get with what we could with her. You know, we ran into some bumps with having players get hurt and everything like that, but, you know, everybody in this league runs into those situations. But, you know, it was a blessing to be able to come back and play this sport again after the LFL.
So, Nikki and Callie, I'll lay out a question for both of you. Do you feel that this league is the superior league in the nation? I mean, there's a lot of people that will say, you know, the IWFL, not as good quality branded teams, or the quality of football, in other words. Do you guys feel, I know it's kind of like, you know, hey, I play in this league, I don't want to knock the other league. But do you feel the WFA maybe has the better squad? This, I know the last 2 years that, you know, the playoff schedule has played out. As you get to the third round at this point, this round, it's really competitive. It's getting to that stage where it's NFL-quality caliber playoff game. And now we get to round four. You're going to see the undefeated. We have three undefeateds right now. We have Kansas City. You have Boston. You also have the Surge. And given Chicago's one loss, technically, you could say you have four undefeated. So do you guys feel like your league is at that level now? It's an NFL caliber level with teams that are obviously playing high-end football at the end of the season tenure?
I mean,
yeah, Callie, go ahead and go first.
Oh, okay. I guess, you know, just like you said, I'm an advocate for women's football, so it's not about, you know, our league, you know, is better than your league. My personal opinion is there's more competition in the WFA. Just personally, from my experience, you know, the Divas played. When I first came to the Divas, we were in the IWFL, and when that whole situation happened and we left the IWFL, a lot of the competitive teams also left the IWFL, and that's kind of when the WFA also, you know, became a little bit bigger, a little bit more competitive. I think the bottom line of it is there shouldn't be two leagues. There should be, I think we've talked about this actually before, you know, it shouldn't be which league's more competitive. It should be how do we make the entire sport itself within the country at the professional level more competitive just in a whole. You know, how instead of having these teams where, you know, there's two teams in each city, there's this, you know, when you combine the whole thing, we make each city stronger, which ultimately then enhances the sport, which then helps us deal with this big drop-off that we tend to see in this league. I mean, sometimes there's just teams that, you know, are on a lower tier than other teams, and they're ending up playing each other, and one team's not necessarily benefiting from it. And, you know, instead I think that, you know, instead of playing this game of, you know, oh, IWFL versus WFA and this, that, the other, you know, we have to find a way to meet
in terms of finding a way to make this sport more respectable and credible within the United States. I mean, you know, we have to find a way to make the level of competition a lot more of an even playing field. You are right, though. I mean, playoffs are built to bring, once you're down to the Final Four, these are the four best teams in the country. You know, that's there for a reason. But, you know, we should be seeing, you know, you see some of these earlier playoff scores, and it shouldn't be that way if it's the playoffs. It shouldn't be complete and total blowouts. They should be close games. So I think in the nature of making the sport more competitive, you know, I think that, you know, this two-league system needs to find a way to work itself out.
And the only reason I bring it up is because you take Pittsburgh from the WFA and they go back to the IWFL this season, and here's a juggernaut compared to everybody else in the league. You know, and they're undefeated. If they were in the WFA, I can guarantee you right now they would have had a hard time just getting out of the East Coast, given the fact that it's more competitive. So that was the only reason I bring it up. But so Nikki, a similar point to what Kelly's saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there shouldn't be where divisions will have one good team and everybody else is on a lower tier. I know at least in our division, there was the War Angels and the Surge were good teams to play, but we had to play these teams where even we were beating people 50, 60, 70 to zero. And, you know, as an athlete, those aren't fun games because you're really not benefiting from them. So, I mean, I really think that if we all just came together, like Callie was saying, that we would have more competitiveness altogether. You know, it wouldn't be these blowout games all the time, especially when you get to games in the playoffs, like she said. There shouldn't be any blowouts then. It should be good close games. And I think with, you know, bringing the caliber of play up is going to have a domino effect. Other good things are going to come with those types of things. I mean, you can get more sponsorship if you have better play. You're going to have more people are going to be wanting to come and watch your games if there's better level of play. So I just think, you know, Callie's right. We all got to come together and make it work as one so that we can all benefit instead of, you know, everything trying to be ripped apart in two different leagues.
Yeah, and last night was a perfect example of what a good playoff game would have been when we had the showcase of the Surge against the Majestics, and you're looking at it 3.5 quarters where it's a tight game, 20-16, and then eventually, you know, obviously the Surge towards the fourth quarter starts to run away on a 36-20 victory. But for 3.5 quarters, it was very competitive football. So I think it was entertaining from what the feedback we got from in Kent. It was a very entertaining game, competitive West Coast matchup there. And so that's literally what we need to get to, I think, in that sense, is to get that level of a play, especially in a playoff mode. So, Nikki, I'm going to get into some dirt and some mud if I can, because I know all the fans want to know a little bit about what's going on. Little shocker this week, Melissa Margulies comes out and says, you know, suing the LFL because of inconsistencies with their structure and policies. I know you're not at liberty to disclose anything beyond what's been said, but at this point, do you think a lot of the girls have wised up and started to really read into their fine print in terms of the contracts, and this is where we're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of this started when I was kicked out of the league in August. A lot of people didn't even know what had happened. And, you know, I didn't leave the league willingly and, you know, or anything like that. And, you know, I didn't quit. I was kicked out. I was kicked out of the LFL by the owner of the league because a bunch of us athletes, you know, some of the top-tier players across the league wanted to get together and discuss the equipment. You know, the equipment that we use in the LFL is not safe enough for contact football. We don't wear it's not real shoulder pads, you know, it's not real football helmets, there's no rib guards, there's nothing to protect you at all. The helmets that they do wear are field hockey helmets. Those aren't designed to take impact that, you know, we hit just as hard as the WFA girls. I mean, it's all the same. We're still women out there playing football, you know, and it was things like that that we all got together to talk about, and then we also got together to talk about the lack of wages and the lack of insurance and things like that. You know, contrary to what people believe, we did not get paid. You know, the LFL just does not pay their girls in regular football seasons. The only time we did get paid is if we traveled internationally, and that was per game. And that was only a couple $100 per game. So you may be gone for a week, and the only thing you're getting paid for is the one game, maybe $500. So, you know, it's not everything they make it to be. So what had happened is, you know, Melissa and I got together and we decided she got it started with the lawsuit. The one lawsuit we can talk about is the wages. You know, when we did get paid, it was, you know, it wasn't based off of our time. We were technical employees of the LSL, and they did not treat us like employees. They did not pay us like employees. So that's what we're trying to get at, is that they owe us minimum wage for every hour that we worked in the LSL, whether we were playing games, we were required to be at the stadium for 12 to 15 hours doing photo shoots and video shoots, speaking and meeting fans. We had promo parties that we had to go to and everything like that. So we're really just trying to get, you know, the payment that we believe that we deserve because of all the things we did for the league, you know. The players built this league. The league gave us the opportunity, but without us doing this for free, then they wouldn't have anything. So we just think that not as just us individuals, but we want to make a statement that just because we're women and we play football doesn't mean you don't have to pay us. It doesn't mean that we're going to do this for free and you don't have to supply insurance. You know, there's a lot of us who got injured. I broke my wrist twice. I almost broke my neck with an illegal hit, which, you know, those types of things weren't punished either. I know Melissa suffered she cracked or broke her orbital bone on her face during a game because of poor equipment. You know, there's a lot of things that people don't know we went through, and we're getting up and we're standing up and saying that this is not okay. And it's not just the LFL, it's any league, you know. But women deserve a lot better than I think we're getting right now.
So, Nikki, at this point, you know, we have a lot of fans are bitter. A lot of fans are mad, especially when, you know, when we posted on our Facebook that you obviously were voicing some safety concerns, and it turned out that obviously the ownership didn't feel that those are valid or warranted. So, you know, a lot of the fans kind of took back on this brand. You can see the attendance issue now with this brand. You can see the cancellation of games in season 5. You can see some of the negatives starting to just literally just, you know, bluntly just come out now. It's not that, you know, the hype is over, I guess, if you want to consider it that. The hype is done. You can claim you're global, but in reality you're not. You can claim you're professional, but you're not. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, that was happening now at this point, you know, fifth season in, you would have think all this stuff would have been at least addressed and taken care of. The league does not have a sales force to sell tickets. A lot of the fans are going, hey, only 2 games at home, only 2 games on the road, and then all of a sudden you cancel one game. It's basically a worthless season to certain fans. So I really think now, you know, to your point, the fans have started to see that the players make this league, and the drawback here is that without a stars, I mean, you got no Liz Gorman, you got no Nikki Johnson, you got no Ann Earlers. You got a handful of existing veterans. You know, you got Gaxiola, you got Furr, you got all these other players, but the bottom line is without star power, no league survives. And I think that's the bottom line, the message that the fans are sending to the LFL in Season 5. Without somebody to wow me to go pay for a ticket to see football, nobody's really going out to see football. So I guess you guys have made some sort of an impasse.
Yeah, we're definitely just trying to make a statement, you know, and this is for, like I said, this is for women football across the board. We should be getting paid. We should be getting something because I know some of these WFA teams, I know as we did in the LFL, we were practicing 3 and 4 times a week, you know, and we're outside of actual practice. We're training for this game. We're putting a lot of money and a lot of time into it. So we just feel like, you know, it's been around for how many years now and nothing's been done. So it was just time for us to make a legitimate legal statement. So just to get everybody's attention so they could really see what we all go through.
And I think it's a valid point. I think legally it's the right thing to do, and not just because it's against the LFL, but the bottom line is if it's, you know, fair compensation, like you said, it should be addressed in a courtroom and then decided on a fair merit. So that's great to hear that you guys are doing that. Kelly, Nikki, WFA, I'm going to put you guys on the spot, one of each other. I really need you guys to handpick. Both your teams are out. there should be no backlash from any other squad in the playoffs at this point, and I'm just speaking sarcastically here. You got no friends in other teams, of course. But can you tell us a little bit? Do you really think it's going to be Chicago, Boston? We got the Final Four here. You got Kansas City, upstart Kansas City. They've played well, good ball all year. Katie Sowers, new at quarterback. Taylor Hayes at running back. You have San Diego, who just took care of the Majestics last night. Melissa Gallegos out there as well. Kelly, let's start with you. Where do you see, who do you see ending up here? Chicago ending up again in the finals?
I have my who I would like to see, who I'm rooting for, and who I think is actually going to be there. First off, I would like to see Kansas City win it all for multiple reasons. It's nice to see, their organization went through some stuff a couple of years ago, and they've really kind of rose from the ashes here. I'm a personal Katie Sowers fan. That was my roommate for Team USA. She's a great person and has been very supportive of me throughout the season and vice versa. So, I think her stepping up and taking this leadership role, she works her butt off and she deserves it. So I would love to see them take it. I think that would be, awesome. It would, I don't know if you're aware of the things going on where, because of league stipulations, her twin Liz was not allowed to play after returning from San Diego and representing her country with USA Rugby. Despite all of that, the team is still playing solid football. I'd love to see them do it. However, if you're a true student of the game, you watch football and so forth, I see Chicago taking the whole thing again. Well-coached, well-talented team. They're a hard team to beat. But I definitely see Chicago winning against Boston. I'd like to see Kansas City over San Diego. I love San Diego, too. I have friends from Team USA teammates over there as well. But I just want to see some fresh faces in the final. And then, of course, like I said, I'd love to see Kansas City take it all. Realistically speaking, I think I see Chicago over top.
Now, Kelly, tell me the truth here. Kansas City, will this be their toughest test against the Surge in the season?
Thus far, absolutely. Thus far, I think, San Diego, they're playing pretty good ball, too. I watched a little bit of film on them last week, actually just being a little curious as to if we did make it these next two games to the championship, who we were going to be looking at. And I will, just out of curiosity, watch the Seattle film as well. But, they're playing pretty good football. They've really kind of rebuilt themselves. Obviously, they had their championship run 2 years ago and then, fell short last year. And they were bitter about it. They had a chip on their shoulder, and they really hit the drawing board and have come out with a great squad. Very impressed by them, and they're a well-executing football team. And, this is going to be Kansas City's biggest test. But it's really going to bring out the true character of the team. Like I said, they've spoken very loudly as their character, as everything they've been through the past couple years, as well as the season, as well as Katie stepping up and playing quarterback and doing a phenomenal job of it. They've been tested and they've shown their character, but, that's part of being a great football team. Only one team wins out of all these teams in the league, so if you're going to be that team, you really have to show it. So I think their battle has really just begun.
Now, Kelly, before I let you go here, Chicago, Boston, no strangers to each other.
Right.
Boston has been disappointed time and time again in the short, term since 2009. Boston, if anybody has a big chip on their shoulder, it would be them. They
Absolutely.
Did beat them in the regular season on neutral site, so that's got to be a plus for them. But they know
right.
coming in, this is not the same Chicago Force in the regular season when they had the bumpy road where Sammy went down and you had to
right.
replace, Jeanette Gray at quarterback within that game scheme. So Chicago, you think it's still the favorite, right?
I absolutely do, and that's a tough game to call, and I think a lot of people, when you ask them to go back and forth on what they think, as somebody who's played Boston 3 times this season, very familiar with them and they're a well-executed football team. I mean, they're very basic. They're a very basic team. I don't mean that in a negative sense at all. It's actually to their credit that they can be so basic and so successful. I mean, they execute football very well. They're well coached and they have a lot of talent over there. But so does Chicago, and I think Chicago can not only be basic and disciplined, but they can be creative and disciplined. And I think that's what's going to give them the edge in that kind of a game.
All right. So, Kelly, I thank you for your time. I appreciate you coming on. Best of luck to you. Stay healthy. We are going to be in the midst of a buzz going up in 2015, so we'll probably contact you for some support and certain things that we're having and going on. But other than that, congratulations on a great season. I know you got the playoff loss at this point to think about, but overall, you guys had an amazing season, got into the playoffs, and just one step away from being almost to the end. So congratulations again, and we'll look and chat in another time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kelly. So, Nikki, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. She apparently is thinking Kansas City on the West Coast side facing Chicago. You've seen San Diego. I don't know if you haven't met Kansas City, but you've seen San Diego and what they can do. Same feelings here?
Yeah, honestly, it is the same feeling. I do think that Kansas City is going to be a tough match for them, but the Surge are beatable. I know, at least from my perspective, when we did play them, if anybody watched film, we did leave, 3 and 4 opportunities within the first half to be in the scoring in the end zone. So I just think that, if Kansas City goes out there and tires them out, they're big, strong girls. They know how to execute well as long as they're going at their pace. So I really think that if Kansas City just, keeps the tempo up and does what they've been doing all season, they'll be just fine. I really think they'll have an opportunity here to make a big statement. And then I haven't watched too much on the East Coast, but I do believe in Chicago. I played with Carrie Mitch a couple years ago when I first started. She believes in the organization, and it's proven that they have a championship team from last year and everything. So I definitely think they'll go ahead and beat Boston. But Kansas City's got a lot to prove. So if they make it to the championship, it's gonna be a tough game. I think Kansas City. I would like to see Kansas City also take everything and get the championship this year.
Now, and Nikki, the off the football mentality. Tell the fans a little bit of what's going on in Nikki Johnson's world. I know you're into more fitness. You're on Advocare. Tell us a little bit of what you're doing off the gridiron.
Yeah, actually, I'm working times and I'm working with my lawsuit and everything like that and football stuff. But I train 24/7. I have a strength conditioning coach at Van Hook Sports Performance, so I'm with them, each and every day, and just trying to get better as an athlete and just as a person, with my training and everything like that. But I am a distributor for Advocare, so I use their products, their supplement products, everything from weight loss to health products, and also supplements for performance. It's one of the only multi-level marketing companies that the NCAA will 100% approve it. College athletes are able to take this type of product. It's very clean. And then also, Drew Brees is one of our advocates, and he's an unpaid endorser for us. And there's over 600 different athletes, that take Advocare. So for me, that's really what got me with the product, was that there's a lot of unpaid endorsers. They're taking it because they want to take this product, and the NCAA athletes can take it because it's that clean. So if those other athletes can take it, I wanted to as well. I personally think it's a great product or series of products. So that's one thing that I've been working real hard with the off season. We have most of our teams using it. They're getting in shape and getting ready for next season. So anybody who does take supplements like that, I would definitely look into Advocate, especially football players. Drop some weight, get in shape. It is proven that in the WFA and in the football leagues, drop some weight, get in shape, and, get a quicker team, even your linemen and everything like that, it's going to pay off. So, that's one of the biggest things I've been doing outside of the gridiron. So,
Nikki, what's the best way to get a hold of you if they're interested in that type of performance enhancements and to better their performances?
Honestly, I mean, they can contact me on any of my social medias. I do have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They can contact me anyway with those. I do have an email address also that I could give you if we wanted to post it. And I'm free to give out my phone number as well if anybody wants to call or text or anything like that. We have a big team out here that does it and who really love the product. So I'm willing to talk to whoever's interested. getting their team or getting themselves with Adversary as an individual. I know Katie with Kansas City, she just got signed up with us a couple weeks ago. So she's actually with Advocate now as well. So we're getting a lot of athletes in the WFA on the product, and they're loving it so far. So
great. Great to hear that you're doing great. Like I said, we've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time. Really appreciate you making the time. Everybody, you go back to 3 or 4 seasons ago, when you say Nikki Johnson, everybody knows you from the YouTube video, the amazing season in Canada as well, and in your hard efforts and your outstanding performances on the field in the legends realm. So I appreciate you making the time for us today. We look forward to talking to you another time. You're welcome to call on board for anything that you want to sponsor out or any charitable events you have as well. We can use our platform as well. So thank you, Nikki, for making the time today and continued success in Las Vegas. And we obviously look forward to maybe a playoff mode next season and a deeper set.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Nikki Johnson, former LFL All-Fantasy star and current WFA All-American quarterback. And you had Kaylee Brunson as well, former Team USA champion and DC Diva standout. Erica, a lot of outstanding football being played, playoffs. You see two of the best, women's gridiron players right here, kind of giving us a perspective on the 2014 playoffs. So what did you think of them?
It was really cool to hear them, talk about their experiences and kind of their lives. It's, it kind of gives a peek into that world that, otherwise because of the lack of media and the lack of information surrounding them, it's cool to get all that out there and to hear about their experiences and what they're doing and all of that. So it's really cool. I love listening to these girls when they come on every week. It's I feel very fortunate to be able to listen to their stories.
Now, Erica, we had an amazing game last night. Scott, I know you're listening. I'm really, really, really sorry that I had to choose San Diego, but the end result was San Diego 36-20. Your team played valiantly, from what I hear from Pete Richmeyer and everybody there in Kent. The rest of the squads in that division, obviously, there to support you. So it was an amazing crowd to witness San Diego versus Seattle, the Majestics. Just one round away from even a berth in the national championship, so it's got to be an amazing season for them. You got to give your every player, including the organization, a shout out for doing their part and getting deep into the playoffs. And unfortunately, it was just not meant to be at this point this year. San Diego pulls away in the end and wins it. So, Erica, we did have an interview with Pete Richmeyer the winning quarterback, which is Melissa Gallegos. So if we can play that bit right now, we'll listen to that, and then we'll get some feedback on the end result, and we'll go into the NFL news and notes to cap off the remainder of the hour.
Great. Yep.
Okay, we couldn't catch up with her during the pregame, but we certainly have her right now here on the sideline, the victorious sideline of the San Diego Surge. We have the starting quarterback, Melissa Gallegos. Melissa, congratulations on the win first off.
Thank you so much.
Now, it looked like going into the first half, you guys were going to have pretty much more than you could handle right there. You guys were behind by a little bit. What adjustments did you make during the second half to turn that around?
We were trying to do too much in the first half, and we weren't executing. I wasn't on my game, and, everyone around me feeds off of, everyone else, and we weren't hitting on all cylinders.
So it looked like the refs were letting some stuff go that they probably shouldn't let go, and I know it's probably not proper to comment on officiating, but overall, what were your thoughts on the game?
Those guys are out there trying their best, just like we're out there trying our best. So, everybody brought it. Seattle brought it, we brought it, and, we just came out at the end.
Okay, the win tonight, now you guys are going to face the Kansas City Titans. I don't know if you're aware of that already. Have you had a chance to look at film on them?
We've been looking at film on everyone. I mean, you don't want to look ahead, but at the same time, you know, you got to keep your eye open to see what's going on out elsewhere in the league.
Okay, one of the things about Gridiron Beauties and No Joke Football is they really like to work on promoting women's football in general. You are the starting quarterback of a team that's one win away from going to Chicago to play for a national title. How did you get into football, and where did you get your start?
Man, it was a fluke that I played. One of my friends we were out playing basketball, and he's like, "You should go try out for this football team." I was like, "Nah, it's fake." He's like, "No, it's real. It's not that lingerie stuff." And, you know, showed up at a tryout and went from there. 11 seasons later, here I am.
So 11 seasons in, what are your thoughts for coaching afterwards?
Man, I don't think I'm that smart. I mean, the coaches were telling us the other day that, you know, I've been playing for 11 years, but with as much, you know, grass time that I have, I'm really only like a senior in high school, you know? So, I mean, I still got a lot to learn, and I've got a lot to improve on, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, the senior in high school certainly put on a great show tonight, a fantastic win, congratulations, and good luck against Kansas City.
Thank you so much, and thank you for covering women's football. An honor to meet you.
My pleasure, thank you.
So that was Pete Richmeyer talking to Melissa Gallego, the winning quarterback of the San Diego Surge. San Diego 2012 champions looking to a rebound. And just alone itself, San Diego-Chicago was the final in that season as well. So they might meet up again, as Kelly and Nikki were pointing out. It looks like Chicago is on its way back. And Erica, we already know Chicago is hosting the national championship, so kind of fitting, I guess, if you think of it that way. They're going to meet there. If Kansas City doesn't overcome San Diego, we're going to see San Diego, and if Boston doesn't overcome Chicago, we could see a rematch of 2012.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch here in the next couple of weeks. And you know, I love talking to was it Jennifer, right? Or Jeanette? Excuse me. I don't know anybody else on any of the other teams, and now that Scott's out and talking to Jeanette, you know, I'd kind of like to see Chicago in there, obviously I don't know a whole lot, yeah, it'll be interesting if there is a rematch. Sounds like it'll be a good game.
Yeah, the rematch, the match that we're talking about happened at Heinz Field that year. It was the first time that the national championship was played in an NFL stadium. So at this point, it was a bit huge accomplishment, thanks to Franco Harris and the mm-hmm. passion for hosting the game there at Heinz Field. But it's going to be tough. You know, we can't rule out Adrian Smith and Ms. Cahill out in Boston. Certainly can't rule out Katie Sowers and Taylor Hayes in Kansas City. You got Melissa Gallegos there, top-notch quarterback there, going back to the, you know, national championship scene. You can't Sammy Grisafi, Jeanette Gray, Randy Hatcher, and the rest of the crowd in Chicago. They know how to win. They know how to win championships. Half of their squad, 9 to 12 players on the Chicago squad, were Team USA champions. So they know what it means to, you know, crunch time. So they're going to face Chicago versus Boston. It's kind of a rematch from the regular season. They played in a neutral site. So this is, you know, your, if you want to consider it, what would this be? Your New England Patriots, Denver Broncos sort of matchup.
Oh, that's always exciting when that leading up, there's a lot of, you know, tempers and passion and all the rest. And you know what you're playing for. You're playing for everything, the title and, you know, being a competitive athlete, you know, that stuff is very serious and nerve-wracking, I imagine. So I always know before those games, even just as a fan, I'm all week, I'm like high and just ready and pumped up. So I can't imagine as a player what they're feeling.
Yeah, and, you know, in Kansas City is basically Kansas City is the rookie in the block because this is their first time here. San Diego's been here. Boston has played in championship games before in previous seasons, not in the WFA, but in the IWFL and WFA before that. Chicago has played in both, you know, in championship form. So the rookies on the block, the upset will be not necessarily if Chicago beats Boston or even if Boston beats Chicago, there will be somewhat of an upset. but they're rivals, so it's kind of like another game up, you know what I mean? And we finally made it, and we finally did it. On the west side, you got San Diego, which is a veteran squad who's been here before. Now you got Kansas City, who's never been here before. So if the upset's coming out anywhere, it's going to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, and I kind of like, you know, everyone likes an underdog story, and being that they're kind of new to the championship landscape, I'm sure there's a lot of people pulling for them, and it's exciting for them to get here, and hopefully people aren't underestimating them, being that they haven't been there before, but that just makes them hungrier. You know, you saw it with the Seahawks this year, and wanting that championship and getting the first franchise Super Bowl, and it makes you hungrier for it. So.
And all the teams right now, they're off. So as of yesterday, the next round doesn't begin till the 19th. So a little bit of time to heal up, get ready, reset.
Nice.
And Kelly and Nikki were saying, let's hope that these are closer competitive games in the fourth round before the championship. So, well, look forward to that. And high-powered offense in Kansas City, very good offensive and defensive team in San Diego. Boston has been, on both sides of the ball. They play amazing ball. And Chicago, obviously, to their credit, they're still the champs, and they haven't been bounced off yet. So they still have, a bunch to prove. So, Erica, let's dive into NFL news and notes. I'll throw in some things for you that I was aware of, but it was Rams week a week ago or when you were off, so I'm just going to throw that out there. I had an amazing week. It was, sitting by the TV, revisiting Super Bowl 34, but I did not revisit Super Bowl 36, just to be clear on that. Super Bowl 36 was not revisited. I missed that day. I did not record it. It does not exist. We never went through that. You know what I'm saying? It just did not happen.
Yeah.
That kick, just not in, whatever. Anyways, it did not happen. But I did go into the mode with the Rams week. Torrey Holt, I really enjoyed that. Marshall Faulk story. Kurt Warner reliving the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl itself and giving feedback on that. So that was kind of nice to have. But other than that, I know there was Patriots week as well, but it was just Rams week that week. And it happened. So my two cents to the NFL Network. Thanks, NFL Network. There's no Dallas Cowboys that week, so that was good.
Yeah, right? I know, Dynasty week was fun. When it was Patriots week, I recorded a bunch of stuff, and I skipped over, the Super Bowl we lost, our perfect season. That didn't exist, so I know how you feel. I'm not aware of that happening, so I skipped over that day.
Yeah, it's my wife says, do you want me to record the other game too? And I said, what other game? There was no other game. It was just the 34. And she's like, oh, you're so bad. And I'm like, yeah, that's just Super Bowl 34. That was it. Oh, you want to go back to 79? I'll relive 1980 when we got beat by the Steelers, but I won't relive the other game. And so we were just funny back and forth.
Yep, that's funny. Well, I think that the biggest for me this week was that Jimmy Graham, they actually, he appealed that when they designated him a tight end with the franchise tag, he, appealed that. They brought an arbitrator in, and they did deem him a tight end. So now they have to try and, him and the Saints have to try and move forward with, getting a contract by July 15th. And if he takes, the franchise tag, he gets paid at the tight end tag price. So, that was a pretty big issue when he appealed that because they had him lining up as a wide receiver at times during the season. So he felt that the wide receiver tag being more, you get paid more, that he deserved to be paid more. So they ruled against that, though.
Yeah, and we debated that before. I mean, why are we even classifying players? Just if your original position is one position, why do we have to classify you at a different position? Because the scheme of the game, because the coach's scheme dictates that. So it should be just, to me, it should be you're either classified as wide receiver, you get your wide receiver money, if you're classified as a tight end, if it's lower money, then obviously you need to change positions and be in the other position more often in the scheme of things. So, I mean, it should be that hard, but you know how it goes with when you're dealing with money and agents.
Yeah, exactly. So money's always a motivator, but so that was kind of the big one of the bigger things to come out this week, you know.
Well, and you know what? The whole week has been kind of slow with OTA news and everything else, so I'm waiting for the big bang. You know, the Browns have officially said, you know, Manziel is going to be a regular boy. He's not going to reserve himself from not going on the street and doing his thing. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, come on, how true can that be?
Yeah.
You are going to reserve and exclusively remove yourself from the everyday man aspect of things, even as much as you think you are. Because if you don't, you will be in trouble, and the symposium was for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He needs to be careful. He needs... Oh, that... No, to be honest, I'm kind of tired of hearing, you know, about Manziel. Every time you turn around, it's either, you know, Cowboys news, Manziel. I don't know. I know we got to talk about him all the time. News, everybody's Manziel, and it's, you know, I don't know.
Erica,
we'll just have to see
Erica,
how he
you
does.
Should you should be happy. You should be happy. McGinnis is on NFL Network 24/7, so you should be happy.
Yeah, yeah. I like Willie McGinnis, but yeah. We've been talking about Manziel. The news has been talking about him since he was, you know, a sophomore in college or something. It's like, enough's enough. Let's just let his play speak for itself and see what happens. Other than that, you talk it to death.
Well, I will take Manziel news over Romo news any time of the week, and I'm pretty sure every Cleveland Browns fan is probably, like, nose to their TV or they're on their iPhone every time they speak of Manziel, because that's, like, the most exciting news, besides LeBron thinking of coming back to Cleveland, which I don't know how that'll happen, but... If it does, then Jesus has returned to his former ground. So.
Well, yeah, this is one of the first times the Browns have really been talked about and have been relevant in the NFL in a really long time. So I'm sure the Browns organization, I mean, they're being smart about it, capitalizing on all of the publicity. And, I mean, why not? Why not, you know, why not get the money for your, you know, organization and it boosts you? So... But I do change the channel.
Yeah, it's Brandon Whedon. Who is that again? Because I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Somebody tweeted me that a while back ago. Brandon Whedon, who is that again? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny's in town now. So.
I do want to point out that Geno Smith likes the Jets' Super Bowl log. I want to point that out.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, he said that. So between him and Rex Ryan, they have the Jets going to the Super Bowl every single year. So.
All right. So let me tell you something that you will hit me with and probably have to put me out of. But it's no different than Congress saying that we're going to fix this economy soon. So sort of the same mentality. The Jets, soon. Soon we'll be there.
Soon. It just depends on your definition of soon, right?
So that's what I'm saying. It's a pretty, soon we'll be there. We'll be there. Look, Michael Vick, Geno Smith, just doesn't seem like a good song. Not a good crowd, dancing crowd. Something's got to give. You're either going to go with the rookie or you're going to go with the injury-prone veteran, which, you know, I think Vick is still okay, but as a backup role. Geno just needs to take the helm and see what happens there. So. They got dilemmas everywhere. So it's not like they have just dilemmas here. This is a team that needs to be constructed well for them to succeed this season, and they have a lot of talented players that they acquired. We will see how well Mr. Ryan really puts together this Jets team.
Yeah, and I think this is a do-or-die year for Ryan. I think that if we don't see him do something with this team, he's gone. And if the Jets don't, if they have just a crap year again, and they keep Ryan on, it's ridiculous. I just don't even know what to say there because he's obviously not getting it done in New York, and he I don't know how many chances you have to give the guy before, especially after all the talent they acquired. I don't know how much, you know, how much more the guy needs to make a team successful.
I agree. I agree with that. I think it's, like I said, they're gonna have the microscope on them this year. They got free agent talent. They're picking up some stuff off the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the quarterback dilemma. It could be Jets television replacing Cowboy television.
It could be, which I think would make me want to puke. Yep.
Well, get ready to puke, Erica. Get ready to puke because Jets green is coming. Yeah, well, as soon as we get closer to the season, you know it's going to be the, oh, my God, what is Michael Vick doing today? What is Geno Smith doing today? It's going to be that cycle of effect. The only thing I really enjoyed on the network this whole time, this last month, is the fact that they went back to, you know, classic games and classic moments and doing stuff.
Yeah.
I will throw a shout out there. Nicole Salumis, NFL AM, I really miss her. Not to say Molly's not good or anything like that. It's just she brought a lot of a different element to the game, to the broadcast in the mornings. I really enjoyed waking up and doing that. So, Nicole, you know, shout out to you. Hope continued success wherever you're at. But, you know, NFL AM is not going to be the same anymore.
Oh, so I had a friend tag me in something on Facebook, and I want to hear your opinion. So they did this, I can't remember who did it, but they did a, one of the major people like Bleacher Report or somebody did a thing on football teams, and they ranked them from most liked to least liked of all 32 teams. Number one was the Steelers, and last, very last, was the Patriots.
I would disagree with that. You know, I mean, last is kind of harsh, but we do live in unpatriotic times, so that could be a factor.
Could be. I think that's
probably why you're last. You know, because
yeah.
We live in unpatriotic times. So we used to live in patriotic times. Now I think we're living more. We got immigrants coming over. Taking shelf on your bar stool at home, and our president's golfing, trying to figure out if he can put a tee in hold. But that's my rant for politics today. But anyways, back to your topic being the Patriots. I don't think they're that bad. I would put Dallas there last because I'm sick and tired of hearing Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas was, where were they on the, they weren't even, I don't even know. Let me look at the list. They were seventh. They were the seventh most liked team in the NFL, according to this list.
Well, of course, in marketing and Jerry Jones owning the network, why not? Just makes sense.
Well, I think that it was on MSN.FoxSports. That's where this article was now. And I think that the people that really were a little bitter maybe about something, maybe they're, I don't know whose fans they are because they just, what they said about the, you know, the Patriots is that we're cheaters and that Tom Brady is as relatable as William and Kate across the pond. That's what he said.
I would consider that mean, somewhat honest, and probably undeserving.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get your take on it. The team right above the Patriots, the 31st worst like team or whatever, is the Redskins.
Yeah, and given what's going on with Redskins land and obviously, you know, the Native American situation that's going on with all the anger, fans pissed off at the Redskins name over the last 30-something years, I would see why they were almost close to the Patriots.
Yeah, and your team was 20th, just so you know.
Erica, we have never been really liked, and we've never been really hated, so we're not really relevant.
Yeah, right in the middle.
So if you're in the middle, you're really not known for anything. You're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could be.
And we're always that way. We've been that way since we were in Los Angeles, and even when we moved to St. Louis, we were hyped for like two seasons, and then we went to the pits. But you know, I don't want to cry right now. But anyways, 20 seconds, okay.
Okay, 20th. Yeah.
Yeah, I even bumped this out over, just to make sure that we're not on the good list and not on the bad list, but we're just mediocre.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
So anyway, I found the list interesting that they would put the Steelers as number one. I don't know.
I think it really just has to do with the Pennsylvania swing. It's, you know, people take really hard to football there, and it's kind of like Texas in a way for the NFL.
Yeah.
People will still consider Pittsburgh steel town, you know, even though it's probably not a steel town anymore as it was before. But good for them. I mean, you know, the Pittsburgh passion in the ladies game, they get a lot of flair and a lot of attention as well. So it's got to be a good football town. That's probably why they were first.
Yeah. Maybe, yep. So, anyway, let's see.
I know it doesn't feel better, Erica. That's what I'm trying to say. I know it doesn't feel better that you're last, but this is a opinion of somebody else's. So if that makes you feel better, maybe this guy was just, like you said, I don't know. He didn't have enough coffee, or maybe lacked coffee in some sense. Where would you put your Patriots before we go? Before you go, tell me where you put your Patriots. It wouldn't be 31st, of course. Where would they be?
To be honest, though, as far as the people I've talked to, I think that, or just from what other people view the Patriots, having us as the most hated team is accurate. The reasons why people hate the Patriots, though, is not accurate, and they're unfounded. So I would say it's accurate that they had us last, but I'm saying that the reasonings behind the hate towards the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick are completely unfounded and wrong. So,
like I told you before, people view them as the evil Star Wars empire. And some people just can't get away from that. People can't get away from that. You know, they view them as that. They view them as the evil Star Wars empire. You know, there's your coach with the hoodie. There's your quarterback that doesn't say much, just executes and takes care of business and, you know, racks up some yards. I have nothing but respect for Tom Brady. Doesn't mean I have to like Tom Brady. Does that make sense?
I get what you mean. And that's the thing. You don't necessarily have to, like, adore the Patriots or Tom Brady, but have respect for what they've accomplished and not hate them because they're good or, you know, like, it's unreasonable. So that's
right. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, you know, Super Bowl 36 for me, you know, it was a bad situation. I mean, they deserved to win, of course, because they made the last play, and the last play was a winning play. Did I feel good about it? No. Do I like them? Not a moment in time. Do I want to relive that? Not going to relive that. But, you know, honestly, like we talked about before, you know, we talked about him being rated within the top 10. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is Belichick a top 5, top 3 coach now? Of course. So I guess with that accolade and those results, some people consider that bitter because, you know, your team hasn't done anything in eons, and your team isn't at that level in consistency. So, yeah, I guess you would have to go negative initially and say, I hate him.
Yep. But, you know, that's okay. I'll continue to just persevere through the hate, Oscar. I'm persevering.
I am so proud of you to get through this segment with some sort of a positive state. Not that, you know,
you
know we're enemies, Erica. You know, Rams, Patriots, we go back.
Yep.
So I will tell you, you know, for me to give credit to your team, it is heartbreaking at a certain point. But at the same time, as a real football fan and you can't discredit results. So that's my point to everything. You know, the results are there. You have to acknowledge them. Whether I like the New England Patriots or not, I probably don't. Whether I think Belichick's, you know, the most amazing thing on planet Earth, no, I don't. But at the same time, the NFL does. So records are records, and, you know, those speak for themselves. So you can't debate the record. You can probably debate my dislike in a lot of ways. But overall, You know, they've proven that they are consistent. They've put playoff teams in every season that they've been in, except for like maybe one. So overall, you know, their track record is very successful. So if you hate them, I guess you hate them for being successful. That should be the mute point.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll see how much flack for the Patriots segment we get for this. Talking about the Patriots.
We won't get any flack for that. No way. You're the expert. You're not going to get any backlash. How many Patriots fans follow you on Twitter? Come on. You're going to get a bandwagon on the backside just tearing people down. I will tell you this. I will never debate between you and your Patriots clan because I don't have enough Super Bowls and I don't have enough division titles. Okay? So just on the very top point, I don't have a leg to stand on, and that's a real football fan. But if you're an idiot, you will stand there for hours debating everything and every nickel and dime in terms of position by position and everything else. And, you know, quit being an idiot. The bottom line is they've been successful. They have the rings to prove it. They have quality, systems in place. The coach has proven over time that he's able to adjust. The quarterback's proven over time he's able to adjust to whatever is given to him and obviously make them better. Yeah, New England, okay, you know, give them credit. You hate them, great, you hate them, but it doesn't change anything.
That's right. I'm not a big Seahawks fan, but I can't deny what they did this year and how good they are. I'm not unreasonable.
No, you're not. And I thought I would say that too. And Scotty, I will have to apologize again for picking the Surge over your Majestics. But I will tell you, based on feedback and based on information that I got, your girls played a very hard, tough battle for 3.5 quarters. It was 20-16 at one point. It was 22-20 at another point. It was 27-20 at another point. So it wasn't because they didn't come to play. They came to play late in the fourth. There's mistakes that happened, and that was the cause of the end result. So, but, you know, Seattle, hats off to you. Thank you for being part of our Tweetcast last night. Thanks to Pete Richmeyer for doing the Tweetcast. We were thinking of doing an audio format. Unfortunately, we don't have the means right now for that. We will, we were going to conversate with Pete about how to do that next season and handpick a couple games during the week, Seattle games as well, and kind of get into the motion. It's a great division. I think they played tough this season, close games within their division. And why not highlight them if we can? So I think that's going to be kind of a nice thing to going forward is trying to build off that and then maybe getting people interested on an audio format first. So I always like radio. When you listen to radio and you're listening to a game, it takes, instead of a visual effect, it really puts you into a, oh, my God, what is going to happen next mode. And I think radio does that. So we should be able to do that more with an audio setting.
Nice. And, Scott, I was rooting for you. I was really hoping you guys were going to be able to do it. And I'm sorry that you were eliminated.
Yeah, but he knows. He's a realist like we are. He's a real football coach, and he understands football. And he knows, you know, mistakes are going to cost you a couple of downs, and fumbles are going to be the death of you at some point. And that's what happened last night, a couple mistakes. But, you know, they stayed toe-to-toe with them. Like I said, 20-27 at one point, 22-20, and then they were up initially, right off the get go. So if you go back on the Twitter feed, what Pete Richmeyer's Twitter feed, you can see the progression and then how the Surge kind of comes back towards the end there. Mm-hmm. So Erica, kind of an exciting hour and a half almost. Thank Callie Brownson. We got to thank Nikki Johnson. Hats off to the amazing Pete Richmeyer up in Seattle for helping us, the Majestics organization for being part of our Tweetcast, the WFA for allowing us to, showcase their teams as well. It was an exciting weekend of football. Like I said, internationally as well, you got in Italy and Mexico was playing, as well as the two leagues, the Sugar and Spice Football League and the Texas Independent Leagues were playing as well, the LFL. We didn't even get to. It was the Sin losing to the Bliss in a hard-fought battle as well, and in a record crowd almost 6,000 fans at the in Las Vegas at the Thomas and Mack. So Coach Tui getting his Finn up to speed. They're playing a little better and tough. Unfortunately, they just, you know, end up on the short end of the stick against Heather Furr, Christel Harris, and Yashi Rice, and the rest of the girls on the Bliss. So it was an exciting week of football, and waiting for another weekend, July 12th, as well as July 19th, coming up for exciting, you know, women's gridiron.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing some results, and just want to say good luck to all of the remaining teams, and I just hope that they can all stay healthy and you know, really play their best games and really just leave it out, leave it all out on the field for sure.
All right, so for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, just to let you guys know, please support the No Joke Football Project. It is ongoing now, No Joke Football Project. You can donate at GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootball. Every dollar there goes to sponsor a player, a team, or a league going forward. We want to build up. Our goal is $30,000. Please, if you have a dollar, put in a dollar. If you have more, you're welcome to put in more. There's some prizes for certain levels of contribution as well. You can always go to our Zazzle site at zazzle.com/gridironbeauties to purchase any leggings, tees, or hoodies. You can customize them in your team colors. You can do everything there. Amazing customer service for zazzle.com. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. That's the reason we work with them. It's internationally based in every language, not just the American language. You go to your country, there's Dazzle.com and Gridiron Beauties as well. So you can go to any platform you like. We want to give a shout-out to Blog Talk Radio for giving us the platform and the opportunity to showcase women's gridiron here, and also Ultimate Sports Talk, Rick Mitchell. Go to Ultimate Sports Talk, get the latest MMA fights. You had Rossi, the Rossi fight yesterday, an amazing athlete. It was a short-fought fight, but you knew that was going to happen. She's obviously killer. So go to MMA, get the results there, as well as anything going on with the NFL and any major sports. So ultimatesportstalk.com. You can also find our podcast there. So, Erica, anything going on in Gridiron Girls before we get out of here?
You know, just kind of stay tuned to gridirongirl.org, and you can also, you know, keep an eye on my Twitter. I'll post anything, any new articles, any happenings, you know, with Gridiron Girl on my Twitter. You can find me at PatsFangirl12 on Twitter. And, you know, nothing specific, but you never know, so just keep an eye.
Awesome. So our updates for the women's games in the international scene are going to be up this week, Tuesday through Thursday, on our Facebook page. If you have anything to share on the page, we welcome contributors. We are looking for people from every league in the international scene. If you want to contribute to share things on our page, our Facebook page, please do so. Please comment on our posts so we can get more reaches, so that way we can expand and make the awareness of women's gridiron more relevant. You can go to our Twitter feed at Gridiron Beauty. You can always direct message us for that. You can all email us at gridironbeauties@gmail.com for any information you need. So it's been a great Sunday, 4th of July weekend. So hats off to all the veterans, as well as everybody that has fought in every war that we have for independence and for keeping our freedoms alive. You know, Semper Fi to all my fellow veterans and soldiers. And 4th of July weekend was an amazing weekend. So I appreciate everybody tuning in, and we look forward to another edition of Gridiron Beauties Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio with the lovely Erica Lynn Anderson next week on the Blitz.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Have a great Sunday.